I'm Philippa Tolley, and welcome to the Long Read from Stuff. This week's story is from the Post newsroom and is called Meet the Monarchists. It's written by senior journalist Nikki McDonald, who joins us now. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Philippa.
So who are these monarchists? Are we talking about followers of the royal family?
We are not. And funnily enough, when I originally pitched this story, my editors were a little bit surprised because they did think it was about the monarchists and they didn't think that that was probably something that I was likely to write about. But no, these are, in fact, there are genuinely thousands of people around New Zealand who invest time and effort and love, it would have to be said, in trying to save monarch butterflies. And these are the monarchists.
How on earth did you uncover this 4,000 member strong group?
Well, it actually goes back to my partner's mother, who is now 97. And ever since I've known her, she lives in the Nelson region where they have this terrible paper wasp, which is basically the number one predator of the kind of monarch butterfly caterpillars. And so every summer we go down there, and every summer you go into a house and there's these little sprigs of swamp plant foliage with little caterpillars on them, and then there'll be chrysalises scattered around the house. And I thought, what an amazing thing that someone in their 90s is kind of investing time and effort in this. And I got a few plants myself, and of course I made the classic rocky mistake of ending up with too many caterpillars and not enough food. So I'm looking around thinking, oh my goodness, how do I find food? And found this Facebook page, which is actually, it's a swap page for people who have too much food and not enough caterpillars, and people who have too many caterpillars and not much food. And that in turn led me to the broader kind of membership page of the Monarchist Addicts. This is this community of people who swap stories and tips and just their little monarch journeys.
After writing this story, what is it, Nikki, about the monarch butterfly that causes so many people to be so passionate about wanting to look after them?
Yeah, I've asked myself this many times, and I did ask some of the people in this story. And look, I think mostly it comes down to accessibility, the fact, you know, they're actually quite friendly, so they'll come and sit on your hand, and you can watch the whole life cycle of the butterfly in your back garden. And that is something that's quite amazing to see, because it is an incredible kind of journey of transformation. And I think that's what captivates people and just gets them interested in looking after these little creatures.
Thanks, Nikki. Now, here's Nikki McDonald reading her story, Meet the Monarchists.
Tracy Parrott was 10 when she got serious about saving monarch butterflies. Her little sister loved them too, a bit too much. She'd pick the caterpillars up and maybe squish them a bit. So Parrott coloured in a giant caterpillar on both sides of a piece of paper and chased her sister around the house, mashing it in her face. So began Parrott's lifelong love of monarch caterpillars and her little sister's lifelong hate of them. It was a bit mean, the Aucklander says guiltily, but I had to scare her off of them. 40 years on, Parrott is one of thousands of Kiwis who invest time, money and love helping out the caterpillars in striped pyjamas. On the Monarch Butterfly Addicts Facebook page, almost 4,000 members swap tips on fixing split proboscises, buy electric tennis rackets to obliterate killer wasps, and discuss caterpillar names. And all for a pretty insect that blew here on a freak wind. After 4 decades, Parrott has developed a system. Leaving the caterpillars outside isn't an option, as they'd get monstered by predator number one, the invasive paper wasp. But she tries to recreate as natural an environment as possible in her back porch. While once she tried to save every caterpillar, now she collects a few egg-laden leaves and hangs them to hatch, replacing the leaves as they get eaten. Monarchs shed their skin 5 times. Each stage is called an instar. You'll need to learn the lingo to keep up with the Facebook chat. After the last molt, when the caterpillars turn into munching machines, Parrott moves them to fresh cuttings in a fish tank. She places sticks around the outside so the fat cats can shuck off their stripy pyjamas for the jewelled green sleeping bag of their chrysalis. After the butterflies have burst out, she puts their sticks in a vase inside her trampoline nets so they can fly off without being battered by her cats, the feline variety. "I give them my little speech," she says. "Stay away from cats and dogs. Stay away from spiderwebs. Listen to the voice of God. If I'm doing the dishes and I see one take off, I'm like, oh, yay! Or I run out there to watch them go. It's so cute." Parrot says she probably spends 10 minutes a day replenishing food and checking on progress. But looking at them, marvelling, sitting in my garden with my cup of tea going, "Come on, it's sunny. Fly, fly, my pretties." "A lot of time," she says. Much of the Monarch Addict's Facebook feed is posting triumphant photos of perfectly formed butterflies. Or sharing tips. Don't touch a static caterpillar, it's probably molting. Don't feed them cucumber or pumpkin, they might come out munted. But some is about things going wrong. Eko Heruini learnt the worst monarch lesson the hard way. That some swan plant growers use pesticide to stop plants being eaten before sale. The 31-year-old Taranaki lab manager was given swan plants for the first time in 2022 and had no idea about monarchs or caterpillars. Like many novices, she got caught with too many caterpillars and not enough food, so bought more plants, which her caterpillars began enthusiastically munching. "I didn't know that sometimes they sprayed them, so they were dying. And me being an animal lover, I was like, I am never, ever going to get myself in this situation again, because that's just who I am. So this season, I promised myself I would plant enough swan plants to make sure I would never run out." Coming from a science background, Heruini of Nararu Kitahi Natimaru did a deep dive researching the butterfly and its life cycle. And she discovered the Moths and Butterfly Trust's caterpillar castles. Now she has about 100 homegrown swan plants nestled under mesh castles, which protect against predators and prevent butterflies laying too many eggs. "I don't want to raise them indoors. I don't want to handle them. I don't want to take them out of their natural environment." You still have to be diligent about swapping plants, Heruini says. And her next project is planting flowers for butterfly food. She'll probably release more than 150 butterflies this season, with the help of her 8-year-old daughter, Aria. "Our motto is that it takes nothing away from a human to be kind to an animal," she says. "So that's what we live by." So she loves to come and release them, and just watching them, their whole life cycle. It's amazing.
Prepare for an unfiltered journey through the harsh realities of infertility.
My name's Nadine Higgins. I'm a broadcaster, a journalist, and I've been trying to make a baby with my husband.
That's me. I'm Dan. And we reckon infertility is lonely enough without making it a dirty little secret.
In The Human Race with Dan and Nadine Higgins, we share raw and unvarnished stories of couples who have faced the brutal truth of infertility.
Unless you've been in it, it's really tough and really lonely.
Yeah, and also, this is really weird, but baby showers, you don't need to open the presents in front of everyone.
Confronting the harsh reality that not every story has a happy ending.
This very blunt, abrasive doctor who I had, you know, had not seen before, who delivered the news just like, "You'll probably never have a natural period again and you'll probably never have a baby."
The Human Race, where we share the untold stories of couples in the race of their lives to create a life.
I feel like I nearly missed out and I got to do it, and so I feel really lucky. So it's been incredibly positive.
Listen today at stuff.co.nz/thehumanrace or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Human Race is proudly brought to you by Elevit.
When Jackie Knight's son was about 8, he read a National Geographic article about the amazing winter migration of millions of monarchs from Canada to Mexico. "Where do they go in New Zealand?" he asked. This was before Google search, and the library had no answers. Knight called science agency DSIR, but they didn't know either. So her son wrote to the newspaper. So began the 40-year career of New Zealand's butterfly lady. The media ran stories, Kiwis sent the knights stickers and books and letters telling of winter clusters of monarchs on trees around New Zealand. Eventually, they formed a club, sending swan plant seeds in reply. Then, as eight-year-olds do, Knight's son got bored and moved on to jet planes, leaving her to manage the correspondence. 4 decades on, at 74, Knight is a founding member of the Moths and Butterflies of New Zealand Trust and still writes newsletters to its 10,000 members, which she describes as pretty much a full-time job. She's connected with butterfly experts worldwide and been to Mexico twice to marvel at the migration. And just seeing them grow and transform never gets old. It's the most amazing thing to witness, she says. There's so many similarities with our own life and death. But spare a thought for New Zealand's lesser-known Lepidoptera, Knight says. Believed to have blown here by a rogue winds from the Great Migration, the first recorded settler sighting of monarchs was in 1841 in Wairoa, so they're considered native. But unlike 93% of our moths and butterflies, they're not unique to New Zealand. Red admiral butterflies are a tougher sell, as they breed on stinging nettles, and the forest ringlet butterfly is increasingly rare. Everybody loves monarchs, but they don't know much about other butterflies of New Zealand, she says. We've got some beautiful butterflies, but they're dying out because people don't plant the right plants for them. Compared to when she grew up, Knight sees far fewer monarchs around Auckland. Recent research found just 45% of caterpillars remained after just 6 hours of exposure to invasive paper wasps at a suburban site. But Knight also worries kind Kiwis might be loving them to death. Intervening too much, raising caterpillars in overcrowded conditions, or trying to save the diseased or injured, risks damaging the species by degrading its genetics. That used to be Knight. Now she pops unhealthy butterflies in the freezer to euthanize them. I used to glue on replacement wings about 15 years ago. It just shows how much I've changed my views, she says. At that point, I was trying to save every butterfly I could. But now, I realize it's a bit crazy to be saving the sick ones. I think the less we interfere with nature, the better it is for them. Now, she has swan plants on every side of the house and leaves them be, watching the males endlessly circle, waiting for a female. Sometimes, two males will get into a dogfight. She says, it's amazing how quickly they can fly, up so high and then down and round the house. It's just incredible watching them. And the answer to Knight's son's question? Monarchs generally live 6 to 8 weeks after finishing mating, but if they sense the weather is getting too cold, they hold off breeding. They don't migrate, but instead spend winter clustered in particular trees, often conifers. On cold days, they conserve energy by staying very still. On warm days, they forage flowers for nectar. Dave Milner had swan plants, but no eggs, and no butterflies to be seen. So he went to Mitre 10 and bought more plants, already adorned with little caterpillars. While I was putting them on my plants, the paper wasp came down, picked one of them up and took it away. So that didn't work. I thought, this is horrible. Milner and his wife have been living permanently in their house bus at Bethany Park Camp in Kaitiriteri for 2 years, having wintered there for 5 years before that. They already had a cockatiel, a rabbit, a ragdoll kitten, and quail. But Milner missed the monarchs of his wasp-free Taranaki childhood. It was time for action. So he built a 2-metre-square timber butterfly house and covered it in industrial windbreak cloth and propagated 200 swan plants. I like to do things right, says the 73-year-old retired dairy industry worker, who also teaches cheesemaking. Two lovely ladies on Facebook replied to his plea for eggs, and he brought home what he thought was 25 to 30, which miraculously turned into 70 caterpillars, already exceeding his goal of raising 50 butterflies this season. The first flew off at the end of November. Milner says, late in the afternoon, a monarch butterfly flew onto our property, landed on one of the flowers I've grown specifically for them, stayed a few minutes, then he flitted off. That really warmed my heart. But Milner is not content just to raise a few butterflies himself. He's on a mission. and he calls it monarch butterflies over Kaitiritiri. He puts up notices and butterfly updates, offers swan plants, leaves his details for butterfly sightings. He wants the whole village on board. Do people think he's nuts? Well, I am nuts. If you saw my site here, it's covered in lights and Father Christmases and moving objects. People know I'm nuts, so breeding butterflies is not something unusual for me, he says. Back on the Monarch Butterfly Addicts Facebook page, Brittany Olivia Cahill Carnaby excitedly posts a pic of her first jay, the intermediate stage when a caterpillar spins silk and hangs before wriggling into a chrysalis. But it's hanging on a cut leaf that will die. When can she safely move it? She asks the Facebook pic crew. One surprising thing about the monarch community is its diversity. If there is a stereotype, Cahill Carnaby definitely isn't it. You can find the 26-year-old on live gaming platform Twitch under the handle Captivated Unicorn. Long blue hair tucked under headphones, tattoos climbing up her arms. She likes to get her gaming followers involved. When her first caterpillar hatched, they named it Egg Noodle. A big animal lover, Cahill Carnaby has vague memories of trying to raise swan plants with her dad as a kid, but she doesn't remember how that went. It wasn't until she was weeding her Napier rental last year and discovered a posse of monarch caterpillars that her interest was reawakened. Maybe they'd fallen off the big plant up the bank, or maybe they'd hatched on two small seedlings, she wasn't sure. Either way, they were going to starve, so she desperately searched for someone to rehome them. That's how she found the Monarch Facebook groups. She kept two caterpillars, repotted the mini plants, and managed to release one beautiful butterfly. We watched them grow up, and it was really rewarding. I kind of fell in love with them. So I decided to get ready for the summer to try and help raise some caterpillars, Cahill Carnaby says. She now has four decent-sized swan plants and is propagating another 25 seeds. That's no small win for someone with a former talent for killing plants. She has just one goal for the season. I'd like the majority of my caterpillars to make it into butterflies, she says. I'm determined to try and help make a small difference.
That was Meet the Monarchists on the Long Read from Stuff, written and read by Nikki McDonald and produced by Jen Black. This episode was edited by Connor Scott. If you listen via our website, you can hear this story and more like it on the Long Read podcast, and that's available on all the usual platforms. If you follow the podcast, you'll get the latest episode automatically. Thanks for listening. Ka kite anō.
This pod took time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.